ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening, this is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our live first of the month Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. First of all, I'd like to thank Pastor Bob Jones for hosting the program last month while I was out of state. And I'd like to announce that tonight's a very special night. We're starting our 26th year on the air. As of June 1st, we completed 25 years on the air. June 1st, 1992, started our 15-minute daily broadcast. So we're still hanging in there trying to teach the truth. Another important thing will be our topic tonight, and I'll get to that in a minute. First of all, we're being heard tonight over radio station WWCR, 4.840 megahertz, that's transmitter 3, and 5.890 megahertz, that's transmitter 4, and also shortwave station WBCQ, 7.490 megahertz. You can also listen to either one of those programs on their internet link or go to our website and get the internet link there. If you would like to participate in tonight's program, you can call 877-924-7722. 877-924-7722. That's a toll-free number, and you can remember it by 877-YAH'S-RACE. Anyone who has listened to our broadcasts over the years or contacted this ministry knows that we teach and promote an all-white Christian nation under God's laws. We've presented these programs for many years, and we teach the Bible from a Christian viewpoint, but we try to be objective in everything we do, and that's what we're going to try to do tonight. Tonight's topic will be comparing God's law with Sharia law and how the Antichrist used the subject to cause Christian rebellion against the precepts found in our own Holy Bible. My guest tonight is Dr. Edward J. Weed, the author of The Origins of Communism, a book we carry, and I'd like to welcome you back to the broadcast.
Brother Mike, I appreciate you having me on the show. It's an honor to be here, and I'm looking forward to our show tonight.
I appreciate you being on the program. Many in the media, especially the kosher conservative commentators, make a blanket condemnation of Sharia law, ignoring the fact that it includes multiple laws, many of which were copied from our own sacred writings, and of course they never mentioned the Talmudic law of the Antichrist Jews. Would you like to comment on that subject?
Well, I want to begin our study tonight by saying that I am a firm believer in closing America's borders and putting America first and white nationalism, as you said, Christian nationalism. I want people to understand, and I say that because this study tonight is not in any way intended to encourage settlement of Muslim refugees in our nation, nor is it for the purpose of getting Americans to side with the Arab countries abroad. You know, I believe, and I know you do as well, Brother Mike, that we should have no entangling alliances with foreign countries, that we should deport all illegals and communists and terrorists, and that we should break the chains of financial slavery that have been placed upon us by the international Jewish bankers. And moreover, I believe we should preserve our white Western European heritage and our nation. And in my opinion, the greatest part of our heritage is Yahweh's divine law, which America's founders, I think, you know, based the Constitution upon. I think it's very clear that it was based on Yahweh's law. So tonight, I guess, is sort of an effort on our part to sort of be peacemakers. The Bible says that blessed are the peacemakers, and that's what I think we're trying to do here tonight. We're trying to bring peace to a volatile situation that has cost many of our kinsmen here in America and in Europe their lives over the years. And, you know, and I found that every time that I've tried to ever teach something that could bring peace, to the life of a nation or an individual or a family or whatever, that it's always been met with great opposition. I'm sure you could certainly say the same. Satan and his children, you know, and of course we're talking about those in John 8:44. You know, they work constantly to bring division, and to pervert, you know, and destroy all of Yahweh's creation as he made it. And it is Satan and the Jews that are primarily behind this push for diversity among the white Western European nations and behind this push for the destruction of our sovereign borders. The Jews make no efforts to hide this fact. I mean, they boast and brag about the fact that, you know, that they, you know, that they're proud of it, that they're the ones pushing for the diversity and open borders in every nation but their own, of course. And they thrive on creating wars and disunity because, once again, you know, it destroys Yahweh's creation as he wanted it. And this especially includes Yahweh's chosen people, Israel, who we believe are the white Western European peoples and nations. With that being said, I think we ought to begin to examine our subject for this evening's broadcast, Sharia law. Sharia law is something I think most Americans know very little about or are misinformed about. Sharia law is a set of religious principles which form part of the Islamic tradition. And the Arabic word for Sharia refers to the revealed law of God, and originally it meant way or path. And modern countries, the Muslim world, all have their own laws. You know, a lot of people over here have the impression they all have, you know, this one law. That governs all the Muslim nations, but that's not true. Each nation has their own laws, okay? And most of them, only a small part of the legal system they use or the laws they, you know, have are based on what we would call classic Sharia law as it is written in the Quran. The word Muslim is an Arabic word which means one who submits to God, but it's kind of ironic, Brother Mike. It's a lot like our people, you know, just like most of our people, the Muslims often submit to their God in word only, rather in deed. And don't misunderstand me, they follow the kosher food laws, you know, completely and many of the other laws written in the Quran, but they abandon classic Sharia in other areas, and we're going to see that kind of as we discuss this over the show tonight. But tonight we're going to, I think, take an honest look at why some Muslims do not practice Sharia, you know, in complete accordance with the Quran. The fact that some Muslims do not practice Sharia according to the Quran has many Muslims disagreeing on how Sharia should be applied to the modern world, just like most of our people disagree about how Yahweh's law should be applied. You know, many thinking it shouldn't be applied at all.
Just like the liberal churches don't follow Yahweh's law.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's where our problems with these Muslims come in, is you have some that have abandoned what they call true Sharia law, and they've become extremists and terrorist groups. And, you know, for many Muslims, the word Sharia simply means justice. They believe that any law agrees with Sharia as long as it helps to build a more prosperous and moral society, as long as it does not disrespect or undermine the principles of Islam. And I encourage our listeners to keep that in mind as we go through our show tonight, because I think it's imperative to understanding the message I think that we're trying to drive home tonight. How they see Sharia. But before I think we begin to show how similar, Sharia law is with Yahweh's divine law, I think we must first confirm both biblically and historically, primarily biblically, that the Jews do not follow Yahweh's law, as many of the professing Christians in our country believe. Now tonight, if we may, Brother Mike, I would like to avoid any real deep discussion of the Talmud, because many people refuse to believe what you and I both know to be true about the Talmud, that it is, you know, the only religious writings the Jews truly follow. I mean, we know that, but a lot of people refuse to admit that. So tonight, I would kind of like our broadcast to speak directly to those people who refuse to believe that the Jewish people do not, and I repeat, do not practice Yahweh's law as it is written in the scriptures. The Bible is all we really need, I think, to document that the Jews do not follow Yahweh's law. So that is, again, what I, you know, where I basically want to begin and end.
They're the primary people opposing his laws.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as their stance has, you know, has begun to soften on homosexuality, as we'll see here in just a few minutes in our study, so has the Judeo-religions within this country. So has their stance softened on the position of homosexuality and other things. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, and we're not going to read that text tonight because of time constraints, but I want to give that text out because I think it's important for our listeners to write these texts down, you know, as they hear them, because it's important to showing what we're talking about here, that the Jews do not follow the laws of Yahweh. As I said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, we're told that Christ Emmanuel fulfilled the law in that particular chapter. However, in Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 40, we find that it is proven that the Jews followed something completely separate from the law of Moses, or that is to say the law of Yahweh, when they condemned Yeshua Messiah for not washing his hands up past his elbows. Now, we know this is true because washing our hands has nothing to do with Yahweh's divine law whatsoever. But that's what they're condemning him of. And one of the most obvious examples, I think, of the Jews not following Yahweh's law is that on several occasions, the Jews sought to murder Christ Emmanuel, Yahweh in the flesh body. And you can find that in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 18. You can find that in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 1. You can find that in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 47. The book of Luke 22, verse 2, and the book of John, chapter 10, verse 31. And these are just a few references, but out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth is established. And this proves they were trying to murder Christ Emmanuel, Yahweh come in the flesh body. And murder, of course, violates Yahweh's law and his commandments because, you know, because in them we are ordered not to commit murder. And after the arrest of Christ Emmanuel, they continued right on. You know, a former Jewish high priest named Ananias that examined, you know, Yeshua Messiah first. That's according to John chapter 18, verse 13. And next, the Jewish mob there brought Christ Emmanuel to the high priest palace there, where Caiaphas, who was the current Jewish high priest at the time, and the Sanhedrin court, you know, were gathered there. And this is according to Matthew chapter 26, verse 57 and 58. And there, of course, numerous false witnesses came before the Sanhedrin to give false testimony against Christ Emmanuel, again, a violation of Yahweh's law. And eventually, the Jewish leaders condemned, Yeshua Messiah to death on the charge of blasphemy. Now, that's very interesting, and I think it's something that our people need to take note of. That's in verse 65 and 66 of Matthew there. But the Bible tells us clearly that Christ Emmanuel, Yahweh Elohim, come in the flesh, fulfilled the divine law, as we said when we started, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Well, if Christ Emmanuel fulfilled the law, and we know he did, or it wouldn't have been written, then we have concrete proof that the Jews were charging Christ Emmanuel with not following their laws, not the laws of Yahweh, but their laws. Now, whether they're the Talmud or not, whether you're willing to admit it's the Talmud that they follow or not, and you and I both know it is. So, it really doesn't matter, though, if someone refuses to believe, the Jews follow the Talmud, because these verses prove the Jews follow some type of law other than the divine law Yahweh gave us in our biblical manuscripts. And the morning after the night of all their false testimonies and efforts to, to kill him and everything else, the Jewish Sanhedrin formally condemned Christ Emmanuel in an attempt to make the previous evening's procedures that they had carried out legal. So, a multitude of people then led Yeshua Messiah to Pilate, and that's in Luke chapter 23, verse 1, and they pronounced different charges against him. Basically saying things to the effect of, we found this guy perverting the nation, forbidding tribute to Caesar, you know, et cetera, saying that he himself is a king, et cetera. That was in verse 2 of Luke 23. But basically, you got to notice the craftiness of these clever little serpents, because they didn't accuse Christ Emmanuel of blasphemy before Pilate, because he wouldn't have cared if he had committed blasphemy against the Jews. Instead, they cleverly and craftily charged Christ Emmanuel with treason against the Roman Empire. And later the Jews even demanded that a murderer named Barabbas, be turned loose in his place. And again, all of these things violate Yahweh's law. Every one of these things violates the laws of Yahweh. Whether they tried to commit murder, they've turned murderers loose when they're supposed to be put to death. They falsely testified against him. They demanded that he live by some other law and standard than the one he was placed here to divinely to fulfill. And, and there's been much biblical documentation here, but of course we have even secular documentation that the Jews do not follow the law, from a lot more recent, historical, account, and that they in fact, are one of the biggest promoters behind the homosexuality. Yeshua Messiah warned us that by their, you shall know them. And here are many of the Jews' rotten fruits, as we're going to see. If you Google, this is the easiest way for somebody to find it. But if you Google the Jews and their ties to homosexuality and homosexual marriage and whatnot, you'll find under Wikipedia that it says the Jews legalized homosexual marriage in their country back in 1988. We're talking, almost three decades ago. And, moreover, they were the first country in the world to do so. And on June the 14th, 2015, MSNBC documented the Jews were hosting the world's largest gay parade in Tel Aviv. Okay? And a March 16th, 2016 article in the Boston Globe called the Jewish city of Tel Aviv, and I quote, the gayest city in the world. And that's, of course, what they're referring to as per capita. And that's a March article from the Boston Globe last year. And on August the 4th of 2016, an article was ran by the New York Times, which spoke of the Jews coming out of the closet all over the world in support of homosexuality, and modern Orthodox is even coming out of the closet as homosexuals. So, it's no wonder that the Muslims who believe in stoning homosexuals and adulterers hate the Jews. But why do so many Americans?
Which is the same as our law.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to see when we get in here. And this is what, and we're setting a sort of setting a platform here showing that the problem we have is that the Judeo-religions have pretty much been deceived by these Jews who do not, who hate Yahweh's law. But it's no wonder the Muslims, hate the Jews. And the question is, why do so many Americans who claim to believe the Bible from cover to cover not hate the Jews and their support of homosexuality just as much as the Muslims? It's clear the Jews do not follow the law of Yahweh, and if they hate all of Yahweh's moral standards. I mean, these facts here, the historical and biblical that we've covered here just in the last 5 or 10 minutes here, it makes it very clear that they very well could be, and you and I know they are, the very ones who have been responsible for the Arabs' hatred for us and our hatred for them. And I will expound upon that as we go a little further into our study tonight, but at this time, I'd kind of like to take a look at how Sharia law compares with biblical law. So as we get ready to do that, I'd like to read a text from Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 17. Exodus 22, chapter 20, verse 2 says, I am Yahweh, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other mighty ones before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take thy name of Yahweh, thy Elohim, in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Of course, we know that translates murder. And thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, this is our basic Ten Commandments, of course, and the basic summarization of the law of Yahweh God, the divine law that we were given to live by. And if you take the biblical version of the Ten Commandments from Exodus 20 here, 2 through 17, and you compare them with the Islamic version from the Quran, you will find that our law and the Muslim Sharia law is almost identical. And this alone gives us, and when I say us, I mean the elect of God chosen before the foundation of the world, something in common with the Muslims that we do not have in common with the Jews. Commandments 1, 2, and 3, Yahweh says in the Bible, I am Yahweh, I'm paraphrasing here, the one true God, and you shall take no gods before me. You shall not make idols or images of Elohim, and, you know, you should not take Yahweh's name in vain. Now, in comparison, the Quran states that God is one God, and he is most compassionate and merciful. That's in the Quran chapter 2, verse 163. The Quran says not to take other gods, you know, to worship them. The Quran is very serious about idolatry. It's considered a gross and great sin, and that's found in the Quran chapter 31, verse 13. The Muslims are taught not to swear by Allah in vain. And that's in the Quran chapter 2, verse 224. And this is completely in line with the Abrahamic creed of monotheism, and which is nothing but the belief of only one God, you know, that we and the Muslim both, you know, we and the Muslims both adhere to. Now, although our father's name clearly is Yahweh, the Muslims call their God Allah, but we still believe there's one God, and we still believe that he is alone should be worshipped. Now, then you have Commandment 4, Brother Mike. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, the Quran informs us that the Sabbath was ordained for Israelites only. And that's in the Quran chapter 16, verse 124. I do a little homework on this. I wasn't this familiar with the Quran. But also it states that Allah ordered Muslims to observe Friday as a holy day of remembrance, a holy day of prayer and thanksgiving, and that's in the Quran 62, chapter 62, verse 9. Muslims observe Friday, while true Israelites, not deceived by the Judeo-religions, not deceived by the Jews and the Catholics out here, these, you know, and the secondhand Catholics, all these people who have gotten caught up in these Judeo-religions, you know, are supposed to observe Saturday as the Sabbath day. And then, of course, we have Commandment 5. And thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Well, Islam is very serious about respect and honor and obedience to the parents. Their prophet Muhammad said that the gateway to heaven was under the feet of one's mother. And the Quran orders Muslims to honor and speak in noble terms and not even to utter a cross word to their parents in disrespect. And that's found in the Quran chapter 17, verse 23. And then we have the commandments, the sixth, the seventh, and eighth commandments, rather, there in chapter 20. Thou shalt not commit murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal. Just as in the Bible, these are serious crimes according to the Quran. The Quran forbids the taking of life except as justice for crimes. That's in Quran chapter 17, verse 33. And it forbids stealing, and it actually punishes it with amputation. That's in the Quran, chapter 5, verse 38. Now, this does not line up with Yahweh's law regarding stealing. You know, they believe that stealing has to be punished. And Islam forbids unlawful sexual intercourse as evil. That's in the Quran, chapter 17, verse 32. And all these sins and crimes get severe punishment under Sharia law. But the Jews have done a great snow job and have convinced large portions of America that these punishments are barbaric, even though these, and the Judeo-religions out here, the clergymen, the so-called men of God teaching the word of God here in America, have done a great job of demonizing and saying these punishments are barbaric, even though these punishments come directly from the Bible. Stoning one for adultery or homosexuality is a biblical punishment ordained by Yahweh in his divine law. And we have to honestly ask ourselves, why would these Muslims, go out there? We have these, jokes and accusations that Muslims, have intercourse with goats and everything. And a lot of people claim that, but they stone people who commit homosexual acts and adultery. They have a high moral standard. And a lot of people I know are going to jump in there and, want to know what's going on with some of this, but I'm going to get to it in a minute. But the Quran has always kept the door open for forgiveness as well. And it says that all those who repent are forgiven. Again, the Quran lines up with our biblical and lawful position on repentance. The message of the Quran is unequivocally, as the Bible's, repent or perish. That's the message. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, the parchments say. Well, the Quran states, and I quote, and this is chapter 5, verse 39 of the Quran, but whosoever repents after his wrongdoing and reforms, Allah will turn to him in forgiveness. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. And that's the end quote. And we have Commandments 9 and 10. Thou shalt not give false testimony, nor covet thy neighbor's wife or possessions. The Quran condemns those who conceal or falsely testify as sick in heart. And that's found in the Quran, chapter 2, verse 283. Again, the Quran advocates repeatedly that the Muslims must cherish and support their neighbors and not covet their possessions. And this is what I was saying. I know a lot of people out here are thinking, if this is true, Dr. Lee, why are there terrorist attacks and why are there beheadings and why are there, why are things the way they are with the Muslims? Well, the problem comes in, of course, as you and I know, Brother Mike, is America's support for the Zionist Jews. The Muslims view Americans and professing Christians in general as infidels because of our poor knowledge of Islam and because of our never-ending support, both militarily and financially, of the Jews. They see us as infidels. And much like we view any laws, now let me give a little empathy here, much like we view any laws that do not line up with our Constitution as unjust, the Muslims view anything that doesn't line up with their laws, their Sharia laws, as unjust. And moreover, they view their law, and anyone who commits an injustice against it, as an infidel. And under their laws, infidels are supposed to be executed. Well, here's where the problems begin. And many Muslims are and have abandoned traditional Islamic Sharia because they don't feel it does enough to defend their countries from the Israelis and those Americans fighting for the Jews' interest in their countries. And much like many Americans have abandoned Judeo-religions due to their support of open borders and illegals, and we've seen even here recently where a lot of religions were housing refugees and housing illegals in their houses of prayer. A lot of our people here in America are beginning to abandon Judeo-religions because they're simply not protecting America. And they're advocating that we actually do the opposite. Well, some of the Islamic people feel the same way about their laws. And the Ten Commandments are often repeated in the Quran, and they constitute the normative and ethical core of classic Sharia law. But again, I stress, many extremists have formulated more oppressive forms of Sharia, not based exclusively on the Quran, because of their feelings of injustice regarding America's totally one-sided support of the Jews. And the message in the law revealed to Moses and Christ Emmanuel was the Muslims believe the same as that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. And they wish peace upon all of us, provided we actually follow the law of Yahweh. One of the biggest hang-ups the Muslims have with the Western world is that we don't live by our holy book. And thanks to the Judeo-religions, you and I both know that all of the Judeo-religions foolishly claim that 66% of the things written in our holy book are put away and done away with and that we don't apply. And we know that's not true, but that's what they, and this is the biggest problem they have. And ironically, one of the main problems that we have with the Muslim world is that many of their people don't live by their holy book. If more people would actually put their faith into practice, we could in all likelihood establish a lasting peace, I think, between our nation and all of the Arab countries. And some may say, well, I don't want peace with terrorists, you know, and I have no sympathy for them whatsoever. Well, you know, I agree with you. If there's people out here who think that, I agree with you completely. I opened this study and told you I'm a white nationalist. I believe in closed borders. I'm an America First guy. And but we're not talking about sympathy for terrorists here tonight. I know, Brother Mike.
Well, it should be pointed out that back in the days of Lawrence of Arabia during World War I, the Arabs and the white nations such as America and Great Britain were friends.
Absolutely.
Of course, back in that time, both America and Great Britain were more Christian, and I assume that
sure. The
Arabs were following their holy book, the Quran, more closely. If the two largest religions on earth are Christianity and the Muslim religion, I think that you could take the parallels between the two and very easily establish it is international law, and there would be greater peace in the world instead of what we see today.
Absolutely, because I think that the Muslims are willing, you know, I think we and the Muslims are willing to accept the fact that our father's Yahweh and theirs is Allah. And we know they're wrong in their teachings, but as you said, there's so many things about Sharia, true Sharia as it's taught in the Quran, that connects to what we're taught in Yahweh's divinely inspired law, that there's absolutely no way that we could not have a greater relationship among the nations if we did that. As I said, I agree with these people out here who do not want peace with terrorists. I mean, like I said, we started this study, you and I both, talking about that. You know, we believe in closed borders. We believe in America being a white nation as it was founded, a Christian nation, a Christian people. So we're not talking about sympathy for terrorists here tonight. We're talking about empathy for Muslims who share a love for the divine laws that were given to us in our holy book that Yahweh wanted us to have. We're talking about peace as a goal, not a policy. That's something that a lot of people don't talk about. And we're talking about preventing the Jews and their efforts to divide us and cause us to hate people for the very things that we're commanded to do within our own sacred writings. I mean, you got to
remember. It should also be pointed out that in our scripture, the definition of Antichrist is those who deny that Yahweh our God came in the flesh, and the
exactly.
Jews and their Talmud say some very vile things about our Redeemer, but at least the Arab Muslims believe that he was a prophet. They don't see him as we do, but at well, least they respect him, and it's just the complete opposite with the Jews.
Yes, they hold him in very high regard. They consider him a great prophet. Again, they believe that the message that was given to our Israelite ancestor Moses and the message that was given to Christ Emmanuel, Yahweh in the flesh, was the same message given to their prophet Muhammad. So they consider, you know, Christ Emmanuel in a great regard. And they respect it. But the Jews, whether you believe the Talmud or not, yeah, I know a lot of people try to reject and say the Talmud's not really the Jews' writings. I'm telling you, we know it is. You and I both have seen enough documentation that it is. But whether you believe that or not, we know who crucified. The scriptures tell us that if you believe the Bible at all, if you believe what is written in the biblical manuscripts, you know who put him to death. You know they sought to murder him. We documented that tonight. You know they sought to murder him. You know they falsely testified against him. You know they set him up to be arrested. You know they held a kangaroo court trial to find him, you know, and convict him of blasphemy, when the Bible says he's fulfilled the law of Yahweh, Matthew chapter 5. And this is what we've arrived at. Again, like you said, these Muslims at least show a great respect for our God. And they would show a greater respect for him and for us if we actually, as I said, live by the holy book that we've been given to live by. And again, a lot of the violations that they have had is in an effort to strike out at us. I'm not talking about sympathy, again, for terrorists, but we have to understand that our interference there, you brought it up yourself there with England. If we go back before the time, it doesn't matter whether anybody likes this or not, but it boils down to this. If we go back to the time before Israel became a nation in 1948, America, England, the white Western European nations of the world had pretty reasonably good relations with the Arab countries. The problems have not arisen with the Arab countries, and terrorism was pretty much non-existent until the white Western European nations there throughout Europe, England, America alike, have, as I said, endlessly supported the Jews and endlessly attacked the Arabs, boycotted the Arabs, refused to buy goods from the Arabs, all kinds of different things in order to support, you know, the Jews there. If America would get out of the Arab countries, I believe they would get out of ours. And if not, I promise you, if not, you say, oh, you're crazy. Well, maybe I am. But if not, I promise you this, I will lead the charge to deal with them as the terrorists they are, because like most of you, I don't want them here. But most of them do not want us over there either. So again, what Americans must understand is we share many common morals with the Arab peoples, more than we do with the Jewish peoples. And if we would just stay out of their business and out of their countries, most of them would stay out of ours. And, you know, I have met tons of people, you know, who are appalled with the way things are going with the homosexual movement in this country, the transsexual movement, and how it's affecting children. Those very same people who are 100% opposed to homosexuality and transsexuality and the things it is doing to our country and to impressionable little children, how it's being pushed in the school systems with our tax dollars funding it and all of these different things that are completely immoral and wrong and violations of Yahweh's law, these very same Judeo-Christians who are opposed to those things will turn around and give money to the nation over there in the Middle East, to those Jews, through their so-called churches out here, through the government, and they do it constantly and endlessly. They're funding the very people that are bringing the stuff on them, because again, do your research, look it up, you'll find Israel was the first nation in the world, according to Wikipedia, to allow homosexual marriage. And according to the Boston Globe and according to, New York Times, their rabbis are coming out of the closet as being gay. According to the Boston Globe, Tel Aviv is the largest gay city in the world per capita. And again, according to the MSN, they hosted the largest gay parade in the world in history. In the history of the world. And these are the people that the so-called Christians out here are honoring and worshiping as God's people. And it's like I said earlier tonight, by their fruits ye shall know them. Well, what kind of fruit are they bearing? They're certainly not bearing the fruit of godliness. And
I think anybody who's informed know that the Jews control the media, the motion pictures and the television and textbooks, everything else. And
absolutely,
they encourage the breakdown of our laws and precepts. I think one thing that we can admire among the Muslims is that there is modesty. It doesn't mean that I or you or anybody supports women in a burqa.
Right.
But at the same time, our scripture teaches modesty. And a lot of the women in this country run around looking like whores. And we do have, like in this area, a lot of Mennonites that wear long dresses and head coverings and so on. And as far as I'm concerned, they're very sweet and should be respected. When you try to knock down the Arabs for certain practices, you're actually knocking down our own traditional Christian view of things. Chastity of unmarried women is something else that many of the Arab women do respect, and their virgins on their wedding night.
Well, and everything that's in the Jewish media, just like you were talking about, everything in the Jewish media encourages the homosexuality, the transsexuality, the race mixing, the feminism, and nobody respects women more than what you just like what you just said, than you and I do. But Yahweh has a place for women in the marriage relationship. He has a place for women in the home. He has a place for and they're not fulfilling the place. I think it was Sir William Wallace that said the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And our mothers and grandmothers are not rocking the cradles anymore. They're not raising up godly men or women. And we have a godless society because we're not grounding our children in faith, our faith, the faith of our scriptures. Like you said, we're letting them instead. We're out here letting the news media tell us, you know, how the Muslims are trying to oppress our women who have, you know, band-aids on their nipples and shoestrings up their rear end over here in our country. Our women shouldn't be dressed like that. Not because the Muslims say so, but because our scripture says so. Because it's immoral and indecent. Because little children go to the beach to play too and they see it as well. Because it's wrong. That's why it should be rejected. And this is something I would definitely ask tonight. The question is, you know, do you wish the people who are opposed to what we're talking about here tonight, I think, Brother Mike, and I know we've got a ton of people who are supportive of us. We'll have some calls here hopefully in a few minutes, but the question is, to those people who do oppose what we're doing, do you wish to defend your nation or do you wish to defend religion? Because what we've proposed here tonight, the similarities we have in our most moral of laws, the very foundation of what America was founded on, the Constitution, the right to bear arms. You know, Christ Emmanuel himself said, if you don't have a sword, sell something you own, go get a sword. And our forefathers, you know, had there in the Second Amendment the right to bear arms. And these things come from God. They come from God because they came from the divine law of God. And that was what was inspired. And the Muslims have these very similar laws that are the basis for all of their government laws in their nations. So my question would be to these Judeo-Christians out here, is it your goal to defend America or to defend your religion? Because we could have peace if we just simply did as George Washington suggested we do in his final address to the nation, form permanent alliances with no one. If we just simply left them alone, we could potentially have peace with the Arabs, nations. If we didn't do the bidding of Israel and fight for them and attack the Muslims and boycott them and hurt them financially and destroy them sometimes and try to restructure their government from the inside, we could potentially have peace. And you, like I said, I think we've outlined it tonight. And I don't mean that arrogantly. I'm saying we've shown that our faith and their faith has so much in common. We could have peace. And our young men and women wouldn't have to die fighting them, and neither would theirs. And I think, and this is a challenge to these Judeo-religions out here, these Judeo-Christians, you know, I think to advocate at this point that we continue doing the bidding of Israel when we know we've got something here that could prevent the loss of our life, I think it's murder. It's not murder to defend your nation. It's not murder to defend your posterity. It's not murder to defend your children and your well-being. But when you're simply going and attacking someone in the name of your religion, it's murder.
One of the reasons is both our law, Yahweh's law, and the Muslims don't believe in usury. And one of the reasons right. for the wars over in the Mideast is they're trying to get the control of the Rothschild central banks in all the nations of the world. So when they see that they don't have control, they go in and usually use our troops to invade a nation and bring about their goals.
Exactly. And, well, and I'll put it like this. If you go back and check into it, you will find that shortly before Afghanistan, the invasion of Afghanistan, shortly before the invasion of Iraq, those two countries had banks independent of the international banking cartels and systems across this country. You'll find that right now, Syria, okay, and North Korea are among two of the last countries in the world that are not on the international banking system. And they're being attacked. Iran. And these are the ones that America is telling you in the press are the most evil nations on earth. That's not a coincidence. not a coincidence that they're saying these things. They're saying them because the Jews want control of those banks and those monies and those gold and silver and everything else, just like an oil and everything, just like they gather the other nations. And when they don't have them, all of a sudden they become the most evil. And I'm not defending North Korea or Iran or any, you know, I'm not defending insane leaders like North Korea's Kim Jong-un. But I'm saying it's no coincidence that America's had trouble and has invaded the last five or six nations in the entire world that's not on the international monetary system. Even the Judeo-Christians supposedly believe that in the last days an Antichrist is going to emerge that's going to set up a world system. And yet they're going right along with this push for diversity, for this push for faggotry, this push for the destruction of everything biblical, everything national, everything that would preserve what Yahweh made as he made it. Everything from race mixing, like I said, to homosexuality, is all being accepted and pushed in the international banking. In order for us to have a world system of government, there's got to be international currency. And the banks are going to do this when they get control of all the banks. It makes, I mean, and yet these Judeo-religions out here are all for it. You know, because again, we're just fighting for Israel. So what you're asking is that all of us, whether we believe with you or not, agree with you, is that my sons, you know, I've got three boys, is that my sons give their life to go fight for Israel's interest. Well, I don't want my children to give their life to fight for Israel's interest. I want them to give their life, you know, if they have to fight for our country. I don't want them to have to give their life up at all, but if they did it, it would be for our country, for our sake, for our nation, and for our posterity. And anybody else is going to tell you the same thing.
We believe in Yahweh's law, and we can see what's truly behind these wars and the other things taking place. But the Judeo-Christian masses, they care less. They're brainwashed by the media. Their care are things like going to sporting events and so on. We have less than 10 minutes left. If somebody would like to join the conversation, they can call toll-free 877-924-7722. That's 877-YAHS-RACE. If one of our foreign listeners or anybody domestic would like to call direct, the number is 678-949-5091. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're doing great, and I understand, and I hope we get a call. And while we're waiting, I'll say this: you're absolutely right, and I would hopefully point out to those who the news media often speaks of support for Israel in the area there and in the Middle East, and they encourage it and they support it. This is the same media again that's undermining every aspect of our faith, undermining our nationalism. Undermining, like I said, what our faith teaches us regarding everything decent, moral, and true. And I would hope that would wake these Judeo-Christians up. Is your faith being undermined in your face by the very same people who agree that we have to do all of Israel's bidding? That ought to wake you up and help you to understand, you know. And I would ask, who are the imposters? You know, the Bible says in the last days there'll be imposters. It will come claiming to be of Judah and are not. That's Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. Well, you know, the Bible says they're of the synagogue of Satan. Well, who worshiped in synagogues? Who still worships in synagogues? Well, look it up. It's the Jews. It's the Jewish people. I mean, and then in John 8:44, you know, Christ Emmanuel himself said, you are of your father the devil. I don't know how much more plain you could make it, you know, for somebody. I don't know how much more, you know, of a roadmap or an arrow pointing there that you can, you know, do to show what they're doing, you know, and what they're doing to us. They're ruining the Muslim nations. They're ruining our nations, all the white Western European nations, and they're proud of it. You can easily pull up videos with rabbis and others saying it. And who was it? Israel Sharon that was years ago. Back around 2001 or 2002, that was mocking us after the terrorist attacks, saying that that they controlled Israel and that we did their bidding. I mean, they openly make fun of us for it. And yet we still continue to let them do it. It's a tragic, tragic thing that's cost us, like I said, our own kinsmen, their lives, as well as many other nations around the world, their lives. And
we've got our people parroting whatever the media says and therefore condemning our own laws. For instance, sometimes the Arab Muslims will destroy idols. Well, that's exactly what Scripture says we should do, is destroy idols.
Exactly.
Sometimes in some countries they give them so many lashes with a rod. Well, under biblical law, they're allowed to give them up to 40 lashes for minor offenses with the rod. You know, there's just many other things where the Jews have us condemning our own law because the people are parroting what they're feeding the public over their media.
Exactly. And condemning our own law, why? Because simply because we want to eat what we want to eat. That's what it all boils down to. I'm not forbidden to eat anything I want to. That's what it all boils down to. That's why we have thrown away Yahweh's divine law, is because we can't control our bellies and our mouths. And that's what it boils down to, is we want to eat what we want and do what we want when we want to do it. And if it costs us our entire nation, if it costs us eventually throwing away all of the divine teeth, because Yahweh says if you break even the least of these, you're going to be guilty of them all. Well, that's what's happened.
Well, what people are doing, they're making themselves into gods. They say,
right,
I believe such and such, or I feel, is what they usually say, such and such. Well, it doesn't matter what you and I believe or what we feel. It's what Yahweh says, and we're supposed to conform to His laws, not to our own carnal mind.
Exactly. And you could have said it better. It doesn't matter even if you or I feel. It doesn't matter what my opinion is or your opinion is. Is it written? That's all that matters. Is it recorded in the biblical manuscripts, divinely inspired? If it's not, then guess what? We don't have to live by it. If it is recorded, then guess what? We have no choice but to live by it. Doesn't matter what I feel, what I like, what I don't like, what my religion says, what my pastor says. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter what you or I say. It matters what is written. And we're going to be judged by what is written, so we better start studying it. Because our works are going to be judged. And, I never understood that, Brother Mike. You know, people go around talking about, grace and grace. And he always had remembered mercy. They act like he was this wrathful God that destroyed everything in his path throughout the entire Old Covenant, and he all of a sudden decided not to destroy anything for any reason in the New Covenant. And that's not how our Father is, because He doesn't change. He's always offered mercy and a chance for repentance, and He's always in His greatest judgments yet to come. But it never ceases to amaze me the people who we're told we reap what we sow. Well, if we reap sin and we sow lawlessness, what makes us think we're going to reap the kingdom where the law is going to rule the kingdom? We're not going to reap Yahweh's kingdom if we sow nothing but lawlessness. What does Yahweh say in Matthew there, chapter 7? Depart from me, workers of iniquity. The word iniquity, look it up. It means lawlessness. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. You gave me lip service, but your heart was far from me. I can't think of anything more horrible than for these people who have always professed to know Him, but they don't.
Well, but we're told that if we keep the law, it will bring blessings. And if we reject the law, then it brings cursings. And it's not just rote following. It's supposed to be something planted on our heart where we realize what's good from evil. We should be led by the Holy Spirit and want to do these things.
Well, let's trust Emmanuel.
We shouldn't be condemning people who keep Yahweh's laws.
Exactly. Yeah, even if they don't understand, even if they're not keeping them for the right reasons that we are. Or that a lot of our people are not keeping them anyway. It's just like Christ Emmanuel said, He came to fulfill, not destroy the law. And I mean, we talk about, something being firm and solid and secure if it's written in stone. Well, the laws were written in stone. And now they're written in the blood of our heart. Now it's written across our heart, the scriptures teach us. Well,
that's true.
What could be more secure than that?
Pardon me, we have a caller from Pascagoula, Mississippi. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, sir.
So, I'm Mike Longmire. Nice to meet you.
Nice to have you on the show, sir.
So, I've been listening to your conversation for the past, I'd say, hour, and it's fairly interesting, I'll say the least. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So if what you say is true, how would you best handle the situation?
What do you mean handle it?
I mean that what you're saying is damning. And I want to know the end result.
Well, one, Yahweh's people have to submit to what his word says. That's going to be where everything has to change. If we first got to put ourselves in order. I can't go make you do something or someone else do something. We first have to put our own house in order. It's like Joshua said, you know, he said, I don't care what other people do. Me and my house, we're going to serve Yahweh. We're going to do what he says do. And so we first have to put ourselves in order. That's what Yahweh's law ordained, that we put our own house in order. That's part of the government he ordained, is that our children be in subjection to the parents, that they be obedient, and that we have a God-fearing house that is moral, that dresses modestly, worships regularly, and is decent and follows the law. So that's where it begins, because every nation on earth is made up of families. If the family goes to hell in a handbasket.
We need to be objective, too.
Yes.
By objectivity, we condemn what's wrong, what's against Yahweh's laws, and we praise what is in accordance with his laws. That's why I think it's so wrong to blanketly condemn the Sharia law, because there's different laws there, and some of them are our own laws. We should.
It's interesting what you said. I've never heard it compared to Levitical law, and
right.
That was an eye opener.
Well, I'm glad it is, and again, you know, I'm not suggesting we attack and drop bombs on the Jews. I'm suggesting we take our nation back. I'm suggesting we do what Yahweh tells us to do, and it starts with each family. Because there's not a nation on earth that's not made up of families. So if the family goes to hell in a handbasket, then the nation goes with it. It's that simple.
I'd like to thank you both for being on the air, but we're right at the end of the broadcast, so we're going to have to
close down. To meet you guys.
Well, thank you for calling, and thank you, Dr. Weed, for being our guest tonight.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.